if you find yourself in deep trouble and someone offers to help, you're a fool not to accept the offer. Let's say in these tough economic times, you're without a job for a long time. Your unemployment compensation had just run out. You were maxed out on your credit cards and way behind on your mortgage and car payments. But a friend arranges you to have an interview for a good job at Caterpillar. But you decide to go fishing instead. Basically, you'd be an ungrateful jerk. Or, for the older folks in this cathedral, let's say your mom did not plan well for her retirement. Her house was falling apart. Her car was ready for the rust heap. But on a whim, you bought her a lottery ticket, and she wins $100 million. But instead of turning in a ticket, she makes an appointment to have her teeth cleaned. You might well conclude Mom was ready for the Alzheimer's ward. These kinds of refusals not to accept help when you're in trouble simply make no sense. They would be absurd choices. A person would have to be immensely unthinking and unthankful not to grab the opportunity, not to seize the good fortune and accept the great gift. In today's gospel, Jesus is trying to shock his listeners into at last realizing that indifference to God's invitation to salvation would be the most insane choice anyone could ever make. The parable of the wedding banquet is the third in a series of three stories over the last three Sundays that forms the climax to the parable of the two sons and the parable of the wicked tenants. In Matthew, these three stories about the kingdom of heaven were told in Jerusalem during Holy Week, during the Lord's last days on this earth. Jesus was being aggressively opposed by the priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees, and he directed the message of the parable of the wedding banquet directly against these foolish men who were plotting his death. Now, an invitation to a royal wedding where there was going to be lots of delicious food already prepared would be prized by just about everyone, even the rich and the powerful. And turning down that kind of invitation would not only be strange, it would be inexcusable, an unforgivable insult to a king. In fact, in today's parable, Jesus said, the furious king finally sent his army to destroy those who disdained his gracious invitations and dared to mistreat and even murder his royal messengers. And that was exactly what Almighty God was about to do to those who rejected his messengers and his prophets. But as the story goes on, the feast was ready. Salvation from sin and death was still abundantly being offered, even if those first invited were found unworthy. So the king sent out his slaves to the streets and the highways to gather everyone in, the good and bad alike, even sinners, even Gentiles, so at last the banquet hall could be filled. But when the king came in to meet his guests, he sees one man not properly dressed for a wedding banquet. He was not in a wedding garment. The king considers this a deliberate insult, both to himself and his royal son. Everyone was welcome, the rich and the poor, the sick and the lame, citizens and aliens all together, but to come into the banquet in old clothes clearly indicates contempt for the mercy and graciousness of the king. So in his just wrath, the king orders that man to be cast out into the terrible darkness outside, to wail in agony and grind his teeth in despair. In this tough parable about the kingdom of heaven, Jesus is teaching us that it is necessary to be clothed in grace before coming into the heavenly banquet. Those wedding garments symbolize both God's offer of forgiveness and our personal choice to change our hearts. Amazing grace demands amazing renewal. We must never misconstrue God's mercy for even the slightest indifference to sin. To accept God's call means to be reborn in Christ. Many are called, but few are chosen, because many still dare to reject the goodness of God. And even some that first accept it refuse to be clothed in conversion. We taste and see the great opportunity of sharing in the royal banquet of God whenever we come to the Eucharist. Mass, even in this life, is an opportunity to be richly nourished at the table of the Lord. At Mass, it is God our Father who invites us, gathers us in the name of His Son and in the power of His Holy Spirit. One of the surprising things about the Lord's public life was all the different kinds of people He shared table with. So also at the Lord's Supper, it is the rich and the poor, the young and the old, the whole and the lame, neighbors and strangers who are all invited to the banquet as honored guests. It is a delicious banquet. That is why our worship on Sunday is called a grave obligation. It is something we owe to God. Worship, praise, and thanks is our duty in justice to our Creator. There can be no good excuses to miss Mass, except for illness or some other serious reason. And really, it makes no sense to come late or leave early. I've said this before from this pulpit, but if we passed out solid gold coins or $1,000 bills, there'd be riots outside the door because everybody would want to come in. But the gift that is offered here is infinitely of greater value. The Blessed Sacrament is the Church's greatest treasure. It is the essence and power of our existence as a church. It is an endless fountain of sanctifying grace. It is the source of all our Christian service. It is the summit of our Catholic life and practice. The Mass is an epiphany and a manifestation of God's endless love. It is the supreme act in space and time by which we are incorporated into the very body of Christ. At Mass, we are fed with the most satisfying food imaginable, with that bread that has come down from heaven, with that delicious new wine of the kingdom. And at Mass, right now, at this moment, we too have the real possibility, starting with me and with all of you, of profound change. You know, when we eat food, it's usually assimilated into the body of the one who's doing the eating. I ought to know. But in the Eucharist, that process is reversed. When we eat the bread that has come down from heaven, we are assimilated into the glorified, exalted, risen body of Christ. So just as surely as bread and wine become the presence of Jesus, we too can become what we receive. And even on earth, we begin together the life of heaven. In our Holy Communion, for a time, we become the very dwelling place of God. We become the temple of the living God as the most blessed sacrament enters into our hearts and our souls. So let's not be crazy. Let's be wise. Let's seize the moment and say yes to the gift of God. May we always be ready to answer God's call and come to the banquet dressed in the wedding garment of a new life. And amid the joy and happiness of abundant feasting, there will be no more tears, no more sadness, because in Jesus Christ, all reproach against us has been wiped away.